Good evening, everyone. In 2 weeks, we will celebrate the 75th anniversary of our church. And at the end of this month, we will commemorate the 16th century Reformation. So this evening, I've chosen the topic, Faith of Our Fathers. And I pray that we will all think about the faith that we have inherited from our fathers and the faith that we will pass on to the next generation. The scripture passage for this evening is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And it reads, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Now, I'd like to unpack these two verses into three parts for our devotion this evening. Firstly, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What have we seen from this great cloud of witnesses? And what can we remember from the faith of our fathers, especially for us, as we celebrate the 75th anniversary of our church as the first Bible Presbyterian Church in Singapore? Secondly, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How can we remodel the faith of our fathers? And thirdly, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, why do we run with faith? So we have three R's for tonight. Number one, remembering the faith of our fathers. Number two, remodeling the faith of our fathers. And number three, running with faith towards our Father. So let us begin with our first R, remembering the faith of our fathers. Now, other than the Hebrews 11 heroes of faith or hall of fame that we have been studying on Sundays, we have much to learn from our own BP history. Now, according to the late Reverend Timothy Toh in his book, The Singapore BP Church Story, he records for us seven roots of the BP movement in Singapore. First, we have a French root in the form of John Calvin, a French theologian and a leader of the Reformed faith in the 16th century Reformation. Calvin and other reformers like Martin Luther made us Protestant Christians by breaking away from Roman Catholicism and returning to the apostolic faith and faith in the Bible. Calvin also gave us Reformed theology codified in the Institutes of the Christian Religion and the Westminster Confession of Faith. Now, how did Protestant Christianity and the Reformed faith then get passed down to us? It first went to our ancestors in China through an English route. 300 years after the 16th century Reformation, the English Presbyterian mission sent her missionaries to our forefathers in South China. And this made us Presbyterians rather than Anglicans, because the English Presbyterians had broken away from the episcopal system and believed in church governance by elders according to scriptures. The English Presbyterian mission then sent its first missionary to China in 1847. And this missionary was Scottish. Reverend William Burns, a revivalist also known as the grandfather of Bible Presbyterians, visited our Teochew ancestors with Hudson Taylor in 1856. Now, Burns was a contemporary of Robert Murray McShane and considered by Hudson Taylor as his spiritual mentor. Burns founded churches in Swatow and Xiamen, and the first convert in Swatow by George Smith, who was the successor of Burns, was the maternal great-grandfather of Reverend Timothy Toh. And Tan Kai Lin, who became ordained as a minister in 1882, was a notable convert. And yet another notable convert in Swatow was Elder Heng Chiang Mong, the grandfather of Reverend Philip Heng, who was among many Teochew and Hokkien ancestors that then migrated to Singapore and Malaya in the 1860s and 1870s. The English Presbyterian mission then sent John Cook to Singapore in 1881, and he organized the migrants in Singapore and Malaya into four churches, one of which was Life Church, the Teochew-speaking Sheng Ming Tang in Prinsep Street, which eventually gave rise to three churches, Singapore Life Church, Newton Life Church, and Life Bible Presbyterian Church. Now, through the English Presbyterian mission, though the English Presbyterian mission was the first to establish churches in Sua Tau and Amoy, there was a fishing village, Yam Sao, in the vicinity. It was evangelized by a German evangelist, Dr. Rudolf Lechler. He baptized 13 believers and established a church, and the To and Lim clans descended from this Teochew village church. Now, in the 1930s, Dr. John Sung visited the generation of the grandchildren of the four congregations organized by John Cook. And in 1935, there was a revival under Dr. John Sung. And Reverend To recounts that 2,000 nominal Christians were converted and the founding fathers of the BP movement were saved and called into full-time ministry. They were also introduced to the pre-millennial return of Christ and alerted against the social gospel of the liberals and modernists. From Dr. John Sung, they were fired with a zeal of evangelism, and that gave rise to the spread of the BP movement. Now, in the mid-1900s, an American minister, Dr. Carl McIntyre, then sounded the clarion call for the 20th century Reformation on the back of Protestantism sliding back to Rome. He issued this challenge to faith seminary students where Reverend To was studying, and Reverend To felt the call to join the 20th century Reformation. Reverend To then enlisted Elder Kwek Kok Chiang of Life Church at Prinsep Street to join the International Council of Christian Churches, and both of them spread the spirit of the 20th century Reformation in the congregations that they planted. Now, Reverend Timothy To graduated from Faith Seminary in 1950 and subsequently inaugurated the Life Church English service on the 20th of October 1950. And from Life BP Church sprouted more than 50 congregations in Singapore and more than double all over the world by the end of the 20th century, while maintaining a separatist stand and playing a part in the 20th century Reformation. So that's a very brief history of the BP movement in Singapore and the spiritual fathers that have brought us to where we are today. So what can we learn from the faith of our fathers? They were revivalists, evangelists, and separatists. Now, revivalists are people who lead or promote a spiritual awakening or return to a former state, such as turning back from sin and returning to our first love. Our spiritual fathers like John Calvin, William Burns, and Dr. John Sung all burned with an insatiable passion for Christ and catalyzed large movements and awakening in the lives that they have touched through the Holy Spirit. Evangelists are people zealous in spreading the gospel to unbelievers. And many of our church fathers like William Burns, John Cook, Rudolf Lechler, Dr. John Sung, and Reverend To were missionaries, church planters, and itinerant preachers who spread the gospel far and wide. They brought the good news from the UK and Scotland to China and then to Singapore and beyond. And separatists are people who hold on to the truth of the Bible and separate themselves from sin and apostasy. Our forebears came out of Roman Catholicism in the 16th century Reformation, broke away from the episcopal system of church governance, and in the 20th century Reformation, separated themselves from modernism, liberalism, and the ecumenical movement. And in all this, they were holding fast and holding forth the word of life. All of them were part of a great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us. Witnesses that God was and is abundantly good and faithful in building up the church of God that the gates of hell would not prevail against. The question for us then is, having been descendants of revivalists, evangelists, and separatists, does this spirit still live on within us? So next we move on to remodeling the faith of our fathers. How do we go from remembering the faith of our fathers to remodeling the faith of our fathers? But before we become revivalists, evangelists, and separatists, genuine repentance and love for God and His Word must be in place. If there is no love for God, there will be no revival, no love for the gospel, no spreading of the word, and no love for the word, no separation, and no separatists. So how do we get the faith of our fathers? 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 tells us to repent and return to God. It reads, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Ephesians chapter 4 verses 22 to 24 tell us to shed the old man and put on the new man. And our scripture reading this evening from Hebrews chapter 12 tells us to run away from sin and run to Christ. And in these verses, we are exhorted to lay aside every weight, anything that holds us back from running the Christian race, especially the sin that so easily besets us. And the sin that so easily besets us is the sin that we are most vulnerable to. The Greek root word can also be translated as always around. The sin that is always lurking around to ensnare us. For some, it may be lust. For some, it may be pride. And yet for others, it may be worldliness. And we should never underestimate the devil and the fallen nature within us. The Bible describes Satan's tactics as the wiles of the devil. And wiles refers to devious and cunning strategies to manipulate us into doing what he wants. The devil has many tricks up his sleeve, and our fallen nature guarantees that there are tricks that will be more susceptible to fall for. And we can be sure that Satan will strike us at our most vulnerable spots. Are we proud, gossipy, lustful, materialistic, lazy, easily worked up? What is the sin that will so easily beset us? Let us watch diligently, lest the devil uses it to ensnare us and drag us down from running the Christian race. And he will also use us to drag down fellow Christians from running the race. So if we look at ourselves with some introspection, have our actions and our speech been building up or tearing down the Church of God? Is our speech filled with complaints, criticisms, gossip, disparaging remarks, or love, exhortation, and encouragement? If we were to ask AI to comb through our messages, what we are posting or browsing on social media, will it conclude that we are a Christian, or is our Christianity just a facade? More importantly, if the presence of God, who sees the hearts and knows our innermost thoughts and desires, will we be found faithful, or will we be found wanting? Now, in the same verse, we are also called to run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us. It will not be easy, but our forefathers have blazed the trail for us. They have pointed us to the right direction. They have modeled for us the right spirit. Will we also run, or have we stopped dead in our tracks? Have we been distracted by the affairs of the world? Have we grown comfortable and lazy? In our ecclesiastical mission, how many churches have we planted? Or have we instead let churches fall away under our watch? In our personal evangelism, how many are the lost that we have lifted? How many are the chained that we have helped to free? In our doctrine, do we have an earnest desire and love for God's word so that we are well grounded and well equipped to fend against apostasy? Have we done our best for Jesus when he has done so much for us? And Jesus is the reason why we are running this race. He's the reason why we are running with faith towards our Father. We do not undertake this arduous race for nothing. We run because we have been freed from the shackles of sin and run towards our Heavenly Father and eternal home. Now, the best inheritance that we can leave our kids is not a multi-million dollar bank account or a GCB, but a relationship with God. A relationship that will see them through the ups and downs of life and see them through to eternal life. On top of that, we want to leave a legacy of growing and defending the faith. The legacy we want to pass on is a legacy that has benefited us and will benefit the generations to come. Which is why we must receive and pass on what is proven to be true and right for the eternal welfare of the soul, the defense and propagation of faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And without Christ, we have a hopeless end. But with Christ, we have an endless hope. A blessed hope of eternal life in the presence of our Heavenly Father, where there is no more death, no more suffering, no more crying. And this is our best hope and our only hope. Hence, the underlying Greek word for looking unto Jesus is phoro, which calls us to turn away from everything else and fix our eyes solely on Jesus. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Our faith begins in Him and is sealed by Him. So when God one day asked me why He should let me into heaven, it is not because of anything that I have done, but because of what Jesus has done. As the familiar hymn goes, I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. So our faith is complete in Jesus, and Jesus has restored our relationship with God. And since God is our creator and the supreme being of the universe, a relationship with our Heavenly Father must be the most important relationship to have, and all other relationships will pale in comparison. And that's why we run with faith in Jesus towards our Heavenly Father and our eternal home. So in conclusion, let us remember the faith of our fathers. Let us read up on their testimonies and biographies of reformers, our founding fathers, as they recount God's faithfulness to them and the church for our inspiration. Let us also remodel the faith of our fathers to our children and the next generation. The church today still needs revivalists, evangelists, and separatists, people who will attempt great things for God. So pray fervently for revival, personally and for the church, that the Holy Spirit will rekindle our first love for God and the gospel, lest we fall away like many of the churches in Revelations. Now, warnings were given to the church of Ephesus who left their first love, despite their defense of sound doctrine, as well as the church of Laodicea with its lukewarmness and little regard for God, given their material wealth. Also, evangelize actively. And we can all be missionaries wherever God has placed us, in our neighborhoods with those who live around us, in schools and at the workplace. Our recent evangelism survey shows that lifers are evangelizing less frequently, with around 30% only witnessing once or twice a year, and 20% not evangelizing at all. Thirdly, study the Bible diligently to be grounded in sound doctrine, with regular quiet time and Bible study in fellowship groups and our MBCs. Now, apostasy doesn't take a break and will continue to plague churches in every generation. Now, just 4 days ago, the Church of England just appointed Dame Sarah Mullally as its first female archbishop, the spiritual leader of the church and the head of the Anglican Communion worldwide. Now, Sarah Mullally led a project in the Church of England that led to the church allowing its priests to bless same-sex marriages in 2023. Closer to home, atheism is on the rise in Singapore on the back of secularism, turning people to science instead of God for answers, and postmodernism with the rejection of universal and absolute truths. So Satan is still wrecking churches worldwide with apostasy, and we need to be ever on guard with the Word of God. Lastly, please also pray and register for the upcoming Combined BP conference that is organized in conjunction with our 75th anniversary. I hope I've piqued your interest in the faith of our fathers in this devotion. And in just over a month's time, on 15th of November, Reverend Benedict Ong will be further expanding on this topic. And we will then have Pastor Tan Soon Yong speaking on developing a biblical worldview. This will then be followed by breakout discussions catered to the different life stages. And we will cover topics of living out our faith at home, at school, at work, and in our golden years. So may the faith of our fathers live on in us, and may we continue to hold forth the word of life in our generation and the generations to come. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those who have come before us, and pray for those who will come after us, that we who are in between will earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints, and faithfully pass on the faith of our fathers. Revive thy church, O Lord, thy mighty arm make bare. Speak with the voice that wakes the dead, and make thy people hear. Give power unto thy word, and grant that thy blessed gospel may in living faith be heard. For we ask all this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.